Chuck and Buck in the Morning, live from Peoria, and our special coverage of Mariners spring training on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950, KJR. Here we are, our final day in Peoria, and it's damp. It's damp. You know, something I hate is damp pants.
You're not a fan of that.
Oh, once a guy, once you get your pants damp, you just can't feel warm again for the rest of the day. You ever notice that?
Yeah, I don't get damp pants very often.
Yeah, I got them yesterday, sitting there in the stands, watching the rain fall.
Yeah.
And damp socks are even worse. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not a big
don't
fan
get me
of that.
Started on damp socks.
Oh, I won't even get you started. Boy, oh, boy.
Bucky Jacobson's here. My name is Chuck Powell. We got Slick Hawk back at the studio. And,
hey, guys.
All of the media milling around inside, outside the clubhouse today. And with Mitch Haniger, the face of the franchise, is going to be joining us here at our set a little bit later on. Did you see by chance what happened at the end of last segment?
No.
Your guy, Ichi?
Oh, no, he's not my guy, but yeah.
Yeah, he walked into the building, and he's got his, like parachute streamline fashionable jacket on with a hood up over it. And so he walks in at his usual, like he walks on air because he's in such great shape.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've seen those people before.
Yep.
It's like they
kinda
float.
Floats, yeah.
So that's Ichiro at all times. And then about 15 feet behind him comes around the corner Yusei Kikuchi. So I don't know if they carpooled together. That's exactly what he did. That face that you're making. And he looked like a 15-year-old following the Beatles in the 50s.
Yeah.
He rounded that corner like he was giddy that he was within 15 feet of Ichiro.
Uh-huh.
And they were like speed walking to catch up to him.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what happened beyond that corner. But I'm fascinated to know. I don't know if he and his translator saw him, and they're like, if we can hurry, we can catch up to him and maybe smell the cologne he's wearing.
Yeah, we can follow him in the hallway into the clubhouse.
But that's the look that he had on his face.
Like he did.
Some starstruck teenage girl following Justin Bieber.
Yeah. I didn't see Ichiro, but I turned to see Kikuchi walking in, him and his translator, and they glanced over here, and they were beaming.
And they looked at us like
can you believe
see
it?
Can you believe he's
did
right
you
here?
Did you see the dragon? He exists.
Can you believe he's right here?
Yes, I did see the look on their face. Now I know why. I thought they were just happy to see us.
No.
It wasn't us.
So you didn't see Ichiro at all?
I didn't
all.
See Ichiro walk
Ichiro
in.
Went in before them. Hood up, speed walking, like he was trying to get away from them.
From the stalker.
So I don't know if they, carpooled this morning.
I doubt it. I'm going to go ahead and doubt it.
Or if you say, and the translator just got a...
There he is. There he is. Yes. Let's go.
That's your teammate, dude.
Yeah, well.
And by the way, you're better than him.
Yeah.
Like, right now, you are the better player.
Yes, but yes, he still is his hero. One of his heroes.
That is crazy.
It is awesome. That's really cool, actually. I think me getting to play with Edgar was, I didn't go running and almost turn into a stalker to smell his cologne. But inside, there was some giddy part of me that was kind of wanting to smell his cologne. Wow, that's him. Wow, that's really, wow. For him, this is totally different. I mean, this is a guy that he grew up watching. I mean,
yeah,
it's just impressive. Yeah. And Ichiro is that big of a deal. He's not just that big of a deal over there. He's a big deal here. But over there, I mean, he's the Michael Jordan of Japan.
Right.
You baseball dudes are odd ducks, man.
What?
Well, I have a feeling, though, even when you were with Edgar, you were, trying to act as cool as could be.
Oh, for sure.
Even if, inside you were had your little cute little butterflies going.
I
you were trying to act as I belong here.
Yeah.
That was just blatant. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was Elf.
Yeah.
Following Santa.
Santa's coming. Oh, I love Christmas. Yes.
That
totally
was
different.
Buddy the Elf trying to catch up with Santa Claus right
100%
there.
Different. Yes. I tried
and by the
to
way,
act cool.
The guy that's giddy is making $16 million a year. The guy he's giddy over is league minimum.
Yep. Yes, but if they stand on each other's wallets right now, Ichiro's way taller than he is
right
now. Yeah, come down to money.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That was something to see. That was like a spectacle. I wanted to pass that along.
Yeah, well, it was. I didn't get to. I didn't see Ichiro, but I did see the two little boys falling in afterwards, grinning from ear to ear, like they'd just seen Santa for the first time. Yeah, he exists.
Those are the things that you get to catch when you're out here. So let's talk a little bit though about Kikuchi, because man, they can't say enough about him. I mean, they are. I think I saw this look once before on Jerry's face, and I'm not going to mention it unless you really pry, because it's a little embarrassing for him. But this is the same look that I saw in his face when we brought up Kikuchi today, of like, I just stole something here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've done our analysis. People don't realize. I mean, we paid some good money for Kikuchi, but we got the guy we wanted on this free agent market.
Right.
We got basically the youngest free agent not named Machado or Harper that was available on the free agent market. And we got somebody that, you know, we believe, I mean, this is like ace stuff here. I mean, the fact that they're sitting there trying to rein him in because he's used to working more than they're allowing him to work. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's hitting 98 on the radar gun yesterday. We went to a spring training game yesterday. I leaned over to the scout that had the radar gun on Marco Gonzalez. I go, what did he touch in that first inning, his only inning that he worked? 88. I mean, Marco usually operates around 91 to 93.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's not anywhere close to, like, letting it rip.
Right.
Right? But Kikuchi's already like, no, I'm already to 98, suckers.
Yeah. He's rearing back and pumping, Chad.
So, in other words, they're thrilled. They are excited.
I mean, there's going to be a learning curve with this guy for sure, like anybody that is first into the league. At this point, he has kind of fastball slider. He's working on a changeup, working on his curveball. But, boy, if he can reach back and grab 98 and pitches somewhere in the mid-90s, 93, 95... and then the slider that I've seen is pretty nasty. If he can do all of that stuff and stay healthy, yes, I can see him going through the growing pains for a year or two and being a number one. I mean, it's yet to be seen, but I do agree. I mean, I think to go out and spend, he's going to make like $9.5 million this year. That's not cheap, but to get somebody that you're going to have control of for years to come, that could potentially be a top of the rotation guy I think it's making a splash, and it's kind of that under the radar type of splash that Jerry's trying to do in his rebuild period.
Well, the starting rotation is pretty much the same as it was a year ago, with some veterans who are now a year older, LeBlanc, Leak, and Felix. But it's pretty much the same starting rotation. And by the way, that was the healthiest starting rotation in Major League Baseball. They had more guys make 20 or more starts than any other team in the sport last year. So it's pretty much going to be that same rotation that Scott Servais credited with keeping us in the race, because for whatever reason our offense went sideways starting in the second half, and there are numerous reasons for that. But you're pretty much replacing Paxton with Kikuchi.
Right.
And who's to say that he might not be better? I don't know. I've never seen him pitch before. The stuff's there, from what we understand. The experience of throwing against major league hitters certainly is not. So I don't know what kind of trade-off that is for this upcoming season or going forward. And then there's the aspect of how much young depth they've added to the starting rotation, where Jerry said in his interview with us, it's a slam dunk that Justice Sheffield, Justin Dunn, and Eric Swanson, three guys they acquired in the offseason, are going to pitch this year in a Mariners uniform.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slam dunk. Now, how much they pitch probably will be dictated by injuries and, of course, performance. I'm thinking all three of those guys starting in the minor leagues, but we're going to see them. And I think that depth, that we're ready for the major leagues, we think, is something that they didn't have here a year ago.
No, they definitely didn't have that kind of depth. Hopefully they don't need that kind of depth necessarily, but they're still going to do it. Whether they need it or not, you got to figure that something's going to happen. I mean, I'm not going to say that they won't be a healthy rotation, but you're still going to need to use somebody at some point in time just for anything here and there. But I'm that's what's intriguing to me about this season is watching the getting an opportunity to watch some guys prove their mettle, see what you're worth, see what you can do. You just named a bunch of guys that are going to start out down in the minor leagues, but they're going to get their opportunity to come up and just kind of show what they got. And it's kind of a like a two-year audition period. Now, again, these guys don't want to think of it like that. They're going to go out and try to win every game. Haniger even possibly is thinking that it's a World Series team. We'll see how that whole thing works out. But I maybe didn't say it like that. Let me rephrase that. He just said we're going to go out and try to win every single game. They're not thinking this is rebuilding. But for some of these younger guys, you're going to get your opportunities to perform in a Seattle Mariners uniform at the highest level. And it is somewhat of an audition. It's kind of like, hey, we're hitting the stage. The lights are coming on in 2021. Who's on board? Who's going to be on this roster? And I think it's going to be fun to watch some of these guys either rise to their potential or not rise to their potential. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So the lineup is out for today. Slickhawk was rattling it off for you. I don't know, man. What's the lineup again, Slickhawk? Do you have
that? I got to look it up again.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have it handy. It was just on Twitter. I'm going to have it in 3, 2. It was Greg Johns, and
That's a mistake.
Leading off, playing second base, D. Gordon.
Okay.
Batting second in right field, Mitch Haniger.
There he is.
Batting third, your designated hitter, Jay Bruce. Batting cleanup and playing the hot corner, it's Kyle Seager.
Won't talk to anybody. Really sad.
Playing first base and batting fifth, he's your favorite duck on the team, Ryan Healy. Batting sixth.
Go Dogs.
And batting sixth, playing shortstop, J.P. Crawford. Batting seventh and playing in left field today, the cologne man himself, Ichiro Suzuki.
Good smelling dragon.
Kikuchi will be there trying to get his autograph.
Ichiro? Batting eighth is center fielder Jake Fraley. And then batting ninth, David Freitas, also behind the plate.
So there you go. There's the lineup. And already Scott Servais has screwed up the season. I mean, how do you take Shed Long out of that lineup? I mean, he's on fire. I don't know. Maybe
he needs a day off, man.
Maybe
he's played one day in a row.
Maybe the skipper doesn't know what he's doing. recognize a hot bat when you see one, Skip.
Gosh.
Come on now.
I hope that we see him in the hallway. I'm going to tell him you said that.
Yeah, please. Bring him right out here.
Yeah, you want to say right to his face?
Yeah.
You screwed this whole season up.
Yeah.
Take a guy that goes two doubles. You don't take him out of the leadoff spot.
Is this the way you're going to manage this year? If so, I'll go ahead and sign out now.
I don't think you're going to say that.
Yeah, I'm going to.
All right.
I will.
I'm going to go find him.
All right. Coming up next, we will talk to the face of the franchise and your number two hitter in your lineup today. Mitch Haniger is with us. Sports Radio 950 KJR. .com.
Back to Chuck and Buck in the Morning, live from Peoria, and our special coverage of Mariners spring training on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Let me know that I've done wrong when I've known this all along. I go around a time or two.
Chuck and Buck, Sports Radio 950 KJR, spring training coverage here from Peoria, brought to you by ANA. Also, the Emerald Queen Casino, entertainment capital of the Northwest. Blue Oyster Cult is coming soon. Make sure you get your tickets for more cowbell. That's coming your way at the EQC. Yesterday we had a chance to sit down and chat with the guy that, you know, there's no other way to call him than the face of the franchise, the new face of the franchise for the Seattle Mariners, Mitch Haniger, your starting right fielder, and according to Jerry DePoto, probably the number two hitter in the lineup. He's going to trout him going into the 2019 season. So I began the interview by asking Mitch how face of the franchise sounds to him.
Call me whatever you want. I don't care.
Anything?
Whatever.
Well, you were my guy, so I'm fine with it. I kind of saw it coming. Last year we had to do a little draft. I don't even know what it was. Pick your all-stars. Was it that what we did? Picked pick who you thought was going to make the All-Star team?
Preseason predictions. Yeah.
I picked the old Mitch Haniger.
Yeah, you're right.
Nice, I appreciate it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you were the only one of the four that did that.
Come on.
Smart.
I wasn't in on that. Otherwise, I would have probably gone MVP.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. That's this year.
You fell short on that one.
But no, I mean, we were just at Jerry on not long ago this week, and we were talking about you behind your back. And, you know, I said, Mitch put up all-star numbers last year, and I know that's your expectation for him again going forward. But there is a difference. I mean, you had Robinson Cano and you had Nelson Cruz, and those guys are stars, if not superstars, in this sport. Now they're gone, and there's a little more focus. And so there is an adjustment to that. I don't know if you've thought about it. I don't really want to put it in your head. But nevertheless, I mean, you're going to be the guy that we're going to try to figure out how to get Mitch Haniger in the best positions to knock in runs, whether that's second or third. So to be the focal point of the offense without those guys around, you know, what does that mean to you? What kind of added pressure does that bring to you?
First off, I mean, I like the pressure. I think if you don't like pressure, I don't think you're going to be very good. I don't think you're going to be a superstar. I don't think you're going to be an elite big leaguer. And that goes across the board for any sport. You have to want the pressure. You should dream about being up with the tying run on third or the winning run on third. And I take in those moments. That's where I think I thrive. So I want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's the thing? I mean, you played it for a couple of other organizations, right? And everybody always knew that you were a prospect, had this kind of talent. What was the thing that changed as far as, I mean, I was watching your swing. I've talked about it multiple times. I mean, short into the zone, long through the zone, use the whole field. What do you think is the main thing that took from going from a guy that had potential to a guy that actually just flat out is a stud and one of the best in the league?
A couple years ago, I changed my swing. I had a really bad swing mechanically. I felt like I've always had a good approach. Felt like I've always had good knowledge of the game, how to work in a bat, swing good pitches, stuff like that. But my swing wasn't allowing me to do the things that I saw a lot of big leaguers do, and I saw a lot of elite big leaguers doing. So kind of retooled my swing a couple years ago, and then since then it's just a constant game of trying to make small adjustments and small tinkering with small things to try to clean up, everything in the swing. And there's always... I mean, I think Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, after their seasons last year, those are probably the only two guys that go home and go, all right, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, I'm doing it. Yeah, right?
Not a lot to change.
I went home and I looked at my year and I tried to make some adjustments and get better, make my swing a little more cleaner.
Like what? Because, I mean, I watch it and I like the swing. Every once in a while I'll see where it looks like maybe there gets a little bit of that lift at the end, turns into some kind of maybe rollovers or the top spin ground balls. But you also catch those on a regular basis and hit them in the seats. I mean, what if I don't want to give away anything? Like we're playing a poker hand. Somebody's, all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, we're now Mitch Haniger's worked on this in the offseason. We're not going to give him this pitch." But is there anything that you can tell us? Because I'm interested. Literally, I love watching it. I watch you hit. I watch everybody hit. But I mean, I like watching your swing. What is it that you were thinking on it of? Is your main adjustment that you wanted to work on this year?
In the offseason, I just fixed my load. I made it more efficient. So now. It doesn't take me as long to really get into my legs. I feel like I'm starting in a better position. So now when a guy slide steps or a guy tries to mess with my timing, it's quicker for me to make my decision. Nice. I don't need to, have a... I like my big leg kick, but at times I don't need it. So if a guy's in the stretch, I don't really need to go into a full leg kick.
There you go.
Just getting more comfortable with that. I'm a believer in if you have a leg kick, you should be able to toe tap. If you have a leg kick, you should be able to normal stride. So being able to do multiple things and just... have a better feel in the box.
Yeah.
And you only do that by working in the cage and trying to get better.
Sweet.
Mitch Haniger is our guest here on the program. A lot of change, a lot of people in the offseason. Even your name came up. Were you sitting there thinking, hey, am I going to get traded? Did that cross your mind?
I mean, you hear a lot of rumors and stuff, but at the end of the day, rumors are just rumors. And at the end of the day, I have no control over it.
Yeah.
So I just don't even worry about it. I don't even read about that stuff because... if they want to trade me, they can trade me tonight, If they want to keep me, they can keep me. It's nothing in my hand, so there's no point in losing sleep over that.
What about seeing all of your buddies go, teammates of yours go? What was the offseason like for you from that standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got some really good players in return, and now I've seen some of them on the field, and they can really play. So it's exciting for me. I think we're going to be really good. And, everyone talks about retooling, rebuilding, all these different terms. We don't really care. We're trying to win the World Series this year. I like our lineup. We're going to have a really good lineup. We're going to bang. So, you know, just got to play good defense and bring it every night. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that surprise people, and I think we're going to be one of those.
Yeah. Oakland just did it a year ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who of the newcomers is somebody that you were surprised by, like, oh, this guy's good. I'm excited to play with this dude.
Multiple different guys, but one guy that just jumped out at me, saw him hit today and yesterday, Shed Long. I coming into camp, I knew nothing about him. Nothing at all. I just knew, you know, we got a guy in the, pretty sure he's in the Sonny Gray deal, three-way trade, got Shed, and saw him hit, and I'm like, man, I really like that swing. That swing plays. Like,
yeah.
He's got some speed, so that's one guy right off the bat stood out for me.
All right. Mitch Haniger, our guest here on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings, getting ready for the upcoming season, but it's a long way between now and that opening day in Japan. Do you like this process? A little too long for you? I mean, how do you feel about spring training?
I think it's going to be the perfect amount heading to Japan, yeah. I think it's going to be good.
All right. Have you gotten a look at Kikuchi?
I haven't seen him live. I saw a little video of him pitching, but I haven't got to witness him live yet, but I've heard really good things.
Why is Ichiro winning the 7% body fat challenge? Where were you in all of that? Why did you just slough off all of a sudden? When did you decide it was okay?
This is hard hitting stuff here.
Cupcakes.
I mean,
what happened? Face of the franchise.
I came in at 9, so
9,
a little bit below him.
That's not bad.
But hey, I try not to compare myself to Ichiro, man. That's
45 years old though.
Yeah.
He's like our age.
Right. That's amazing. Every day is, you know, he's doing something that's not too many people have ever done before, especially with nowadays.
Hey, one thing, so I played with Ichiro in 04, the year that he got 2 million hits in this season. one thing last year when they brought him back, I was kind of concerned, like, what is this what you want to do to an icon? Because it was obvious that he wasn't going to play every single day, and he wasn't the same guy that he once was. I was like, well, maybe he's bringing something to the table leadership-wise, like clubhouse-wise. But that wasn't the case when I played him. Now, this was only like his third year in the league, and he was just a robot that just went and got a hit every single time. But does he bring that? Is there something that he brings to the table as far as like a leadership-wise, or is it just this, you know, this aura of there's greatness, watch him and try to follow suit?
No, I mean, he definitely brings leadership to the table, and you can learn a lot by watching him. I've learned a ton by just watching him, watching how he goes about his business, and there's a reason why he's still playing when he's 45. You know, he takes care of his body the right way, and you know, there's intent and focus with everything he does. You never see him just goofing off, and I think the younger guys need to take note of that. You know, so that's when you would watch Nelson Cruz go about his work, Robinson Cano, guys like that have really been elite for a long time. They go about their business the right way, and you need to learn from a guy like that.
Yeah,
and that's what he brings to the table in the clubhouse, and you know, that's what I heard also when I got here. It was like, yeah, Ichi just kind of does his own thing and works hard, but he's been more than that. I mean, he's been a mentor for some of the young guys, and he's helped me out with multiple different things, and I love having him in the clubhouse and on my team.
Yeah.
On the same team as him. It's been great.
All right, well, let's close out with a little bit of fun. We're going to play the last teammate. All right, we got three rounds of the last teammate. You ready? Who is the last teammate of yours that is going to pick up the tab?
Oh, Kyle Seager for sure.
Seager? Are you serious? Tight one?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, dump truck. Come on.
The richest guy on the team next to Felix.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite the near. That's funny. That's good. I like that.
Oh, come on, Seager.
Oh, I like it.
All right. Who is the last teammate that you would have babysit your children?
Oh, man, I don't know where he comes up with this stuff, by the way.
You don't have children, do you?
I don't.
I
no.
don't think so.
Man, I don't know. All the guys I'm trying to think of are all I'd actually trust.
Very
him, so.
Responsible.
Yeah, I don't know. That's you
maybe it's
me.
A coach.
You stumped me. Yeah.
Maybe it's a manager.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you're the guy. The actually,
last guy I want taking care of my kids, Pete Harnish.
It could be that he's actually the answer to this question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not even trusted to watch his own children when that happens.
All right, final one. Who is the last teammate you want to see try to squeeze into Rick Riz's jeans, skinny jeans
Holy
that he's
crap.
Wearing over there?
Wow. Not it.
Maybe Healy, someone big.
Healy.
Big body.
You absolutely jeans. Want to see that. Don't say you don't.
That's actually true.
Bring him out here and let's do it right now. Jeans? Go get Healy. Let's go do it right now.
I don't think he's doing it.
Hey, thanks for coming by, man. We appreciate it. We're excited about it.
Good luck
this season, and we will, of course, be watching. Mitch Haniger, new face of the franchise for the Seattle Mariners going forward. And by the way, the answer to the question about who's the person in the organization you'd least want to babysit your kids is Perry Hill.
Because, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy that keeps yelling, he's become famous around here for...
Just for yelling stop it.
Yelling stop it during drills, infield drills. And by the way, stop it is when you do something well. So imagine the confusion in young Barron's face when he like finishes all of his pudding and Perry looks at him like, stop it.
What?
You did a great job of that pudding. Stop it.
Yeah,
I mean you're trying to teach your kid like right from wrong and what's yes and what no means at this point in his toddler stage, and you bring in Perry Hill to babysit him. He puts away all of his toys without being asked, and Perry yells across the room, "Stop it!"
Yep, scares the heck out of him.
You put your toys away like a big boy. Stop it!
Yes. That is such an unusual way of going about it. I've been around hundreds of coaches and never had one that yelled, stop it, when I did something right.
Yeah.
Although I love it for what it's worth. Yeah. I really do.
It's really fun. It's caught on. Everybody does it in the hallways now. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sitting there and you're eating your lunch and stop it.
Stop it. Yeah. Oh, stop it. That was perfect.
You latched onto that nipple, kid. Stop it.
I am very confused.
You're confused back there, Slate?
I'm confused. I don't know if to stop or keep going.
Yes. Oh, it's good stuff.
Haniger's got this kind of quiet confidence about him. And I don't know, maybe you can relate to this perfectly, but as somebody that, you know, sort of was in the minor leagues longer than he thought he should have been or wanted to be or whatever the case may be, and then to finally get his chance to kind of play every day, I've kind of sensed from Haniger ever since I met him the first time, like, I'm good.
Right.
You know, by the way, I mean, he's not screaming it. He's not skywriting it.
Right.
You know, he's not taking out an ad in the paper, but there's always been this, yeah, I'm really good at this game.
Right.
Kind of air about him. And so when I ask him about losing Robinson Cano or Nelson Cruz and maybe having to step out of their shadows and into the spotlight, even though you could argue he outplayed both of them last year, they still cast large shadows because of who they were. And yet I get the sense from Haniger that not only am I not worried about it, I've been waiting for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that sense from him?
100%.
Like, you know what? I mean, I'm not casting like he's not going to miss Cano or he's not going to miss Cruz. I don't know. I didn't get into that personally. But there's certainly this air of, you know what? That doesn't bother me whatsoever. I got my own game to improve, and I know I got another level I can get to.
Yeah.
With or without them.
Yep. Well, I mean, that is... So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was a first-round pick back in the day, right? I'm pretty sure he was. And I know he got a big signing bonus. So he's came in with some confidence. Now, you can't help but have your confidence shaken when a couple different teams kind of end up, I don't want to say giving up on you, but they basically move on from you or they add you into a trade. You can look at that two different ways. The team that I'm going to really, really loves me. That's why they're trading for me. Or the team that is getting rid of me doesn't want me anymore. They've given up. So my point is, I think that he came in with a high amount of confidence, but I think you'd only be human if that confidence gets rattled a little bit when you start getting swapped a couple teams here and there. He did spend a little bit more time in the minor leagues than I'm sure he thinks he should have. And so that's a different thing. When I got to the big leagues, I definitely had a different feeling. I know that a lot of buddies of mine that got there and they were nervous. Oh wow, I better stud out now. You know, I don't want to screw this up. I didn't have that same nerves. I kind of had more of a, all right, now here's my opportunity. That's why I had that song, that Eminem song, that Lose Yourself. If you had one shot, one opportunity, because that's how I felt. Was here's my shot. Don't let it, capture it. Go get it. And I think that that's the way he went about last year, whereas he was brought over and it was like, hey, you're going to be the starting right fielder. We believe in you. And it kind of motivated him to the sense of, all right, it's time to show what I'm capable of doing, which is playing at an all-star clip. And so, yes, there is a quiet confidence. I mean, I think everybody, if you compete, you compete at a high enough level that you know you want to have the ball in your hands when you're down by two and you have to somebody has to drain a three. You want that shot. You want the opportunity. You might fail in the moment where glory was on the line, but you don't have any chance of glory if you don't ever get into that situation. So down by one run, bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the ninth, game seven of the World Series. If you're going to be a real good ball player, you got to want to be up in that situation because you have all the glory riding on it. Now, if you fail, it hurts more, but that's what he was saying right at the very beginning of the interview, and I 100% agree with that. I think that he does have a confidence about him that is, call me what you want, face the franchise, I don't care. He's just going to go out there and ball out and see what happens.
That's what I found unusual about the response, because I'm getting ready to ask that question. I know I'm going to start the interview that way by kind of putting him in an uncomfortable position, I'm thinking, of like face of the franchise, man, and using that expression with him.
That's big.
And there's two ways to respond to that. You're either going to say, one, yeah, bring it on, you know, and almost become overconfident with your response to that question, or the more common response to that question from an up-and-coming potential star is, oh, no, 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 don't put me in that category. Oh, no, 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 are we ready to put me there?
Yeah.
That's whether you feel inside or not, there's sort of this belief that this is what I need to say.
Right.
Let me deflect that away because I don't want people writing in the headlines, Mitch Haniger isn't going to miss Nelson Cruz or Robinson Cano.
Right, right.
Then there's the third way, the Haniger way to respond to that question.
Whatever. Yeah, call me what you want.
Call me that. I mean, yeah. I mean, those guys are good players. Why does that affect me?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So,
that is different.
Yeah, it's sort of this quiet confidence and that he brings to the field, and then you're going to add to that potentially some leadership responsibilities, even though I think that he looks across the room at Dee Gordon and Ryan Healy, who basically are stand-up comedians, and thinks, I can even lose myself in the shadows to this. I can just keep, tunnel vision, eye on the prize, and I don't even have to step up into that role. I mean, he is famous for get Mitch Haniger at the right time, and he's an awesome interview. Very engaging, smart guy. But most of the time, and any of the beat writers will tell you, it's like one, two-word answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, this is stuff that gets in the way.
Right.
Of what I want to be. And there's that chip on his shoulder of, how dare they tell me for 7 years I wasn't going to be this.
Right.
And now I'm here, and I'm not done. That's the impression that I get from him. And frankly, that's exactly the impression that I wanted to get from him.
Yeah. Well, it is the same here. I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, I don't know for sure whether it's Jay Bruce. I don't know for sure who you put in that three hole. To me, the best hitter on the club right now, I would say, is Mitch Haniger. That's who I would probably put in the three hole to replace a guy like Robinson Cano.
Well, they're saying, though, that no, we put our best hitter in the two hole.
Yeah, I know. You think that you're going to get another AB. You're going to get a couple more ABs over the course of the season. You're not going to get that many more ABs. It's not that often that the game ends at the two-hole hitter. It can happen. My point is that your three-hole hitter traditionally has been your best hitter, right? Because now there's a better opportunity for him to be up in an RBI situation in the first inning of the game than your two-hole hitter up in an RBI situation. So I would like that. That being said, that's a discussion for another day. My only reason for saying that is I believe he has the leadership quality in him in that quiet confidence. He's not overly humble, like, oh, shucks. No, I'm not that guy. But he's not, yeah, you're darn right I'm the face of this franchise.
Yeah.
Overly arrogant. No, it's just, yeah, bring it. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, call me what you want. I'm going to go out and do my best defensively. I'm going to try to have some good ABs. I'm going to help this team win.
And he spent an off season after a breakout year with a 7 WAR, where he's ranked 39th best player in Major League Baseball by MLB Network, and he spent it like finding the holes in his swing to improve them.
Right.
And he came in with 9% body fat. So, tells you a lot about him.
Still working. That's one thing about this game, it's that there's an old saying that says getting better and working in baseball is like going up an escalator that's going down. Like, the second that you stop working to get better, the second you think you got it all figured out, you're not actually just stopped. You're actually going backwards, and there's people blowing by you. So that's awesome to have a guy that makes his first All-Star team and has a breakout year and says, I'm not done. I got to keep getting better.
All right, coming up next, unless we get a surprise here at Mariners training facility, we're going to talk some Zion Williamson. He's the talk of the sports world right now for a lot of different reasons. We'll discuss it next.
Now back to Chuck and Buck in the Morning, live from Peoria, and our special coverage of Mariners spring training on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Trying to make a living and doing the best I can.
The NBA insists that it has nothing to do with Zion Williamson blowing out his shoe and hurting his knee earlier this week against North Carolina, but they have formally proposed to change the draft eligible age requirement for in the NBA from 19 to 18. This according to the USA Today. And so, as the nation chews on the concept of whether or not Zion Williamson should return to his Duke teammates, the NBA had already planned to announce that this is something that may not be as big a problem going forward, because we might go back to allowing high school seniors to jump right to the NBA, as long as they're not 17-year-old high school seniors. We're going to allow them to go ahead and jump straight to the NBA. So I don't think it goes far enough, frankly, because I would like the NBA to stop using college basketball as its free feeder program in many ways. I think that I would like to see them adopt some version of what baseball does, or what, well, football's a little different, but what baseball does. You can come out at 18, but if you go to college, it's called commitment, kids. Then you need to make a commitment to that college, and we're not going to allow you in our league for another 2-3 years. I think that's the line that I would like to see them push it toward. But man, this Zion Williamson thing has got everybody talking just about whether or not, you know, at 18 he's risking too much by returning to his Duke teammates, that injury scare should have scared him financially, and that he shouldn't dare risk anything going forward. What do you think about that?
I don't like it. I mean, I get it. I totally see where people are coming from. He's essentially playing for a college that's making money. I mean, the tickets to that game were astronomical. It was Super Bowl ticket prices, and he's the main draw for why it's, I mean, it's the rivalry, North Carolina-Duke rivalry, but it's
going to be sold out either way.
Yeah, but this guy, the reason that the tickets were going for what they were going for is because there's this phenom kid that's playing, and 36 seconds into the game, he blows his shoe out and tweaks his knee. I don't like the fact that they're making money off of guys that they aren't paying, but that being said, they are paying him with college tuition, and I don't believe in the whole, well, you better. I do get, let me backtrack for a second. I do get why a guy that has played his college career and he's developed a resume of college football that's like McCaffrey, he's done his thing, and now there's this exhibition bowl game, and he's like, what's the point of playing in that? You know, if it's going for a national title, I would say, you need to. I would think you'd want to be there for your teammates. But if it's just one of the other games, it's just a nonchalant bowl game that doesn't really mean anything, and you're like, now I there's no need to play a contact sport like that, that you could literally get tragically hurt. I mean, career-ending injury on any given play. There's no need to chance it right on the cusp of making my money and changing my stars. But I don't necessarily see basketball as being, one, that's that dangerous of a sport, and two, I have a hard time with a 18-year-old kid already being in fear of what he's not going to get. Because let's talk about just what another article that I read today that was, this hasn't changed teams, the thoughts on him one little bit. Now,
well, I tell you what, though. I mean, I'm sitting with a strength coach in 30 years that did NBA and Major League Baseball. I'm sitting with a doctor of physical therapy. And you blow out an ACL, and you're as explosive as he is. I mean, there's a chance that you might not ever be that explosive again. Now, he ended up not blowing out an ACL. He just sprained the one of the ligaments. But, you know, you are running a risk by going out there. I mean, it might not be as dangerous. It might not be as risky as the NFL. But what Scottie Pippen and Isaiah Thomas and other NBA guys who've been through the process and were successful, by the way, and made millions, are looking back on it and saying, kid, you don't have anything but risk at this point.
You don't have anything but risk.
You
I agree.
You got a mill. You're going to be number one pick money, and then all of the endorsements that are going to go along with you being maybe the most popular college basketball player we've seen in 25 years. You've got only risk if you put on that Duke uniform again.
Very true. Very true.
Financially.
There is reward
in going back to your teammates and winning a national championship.
Yes.
That's nothing to just scoff at.
But it's not paying him anything. He's not getting a giant chunk of change. He's not going to get. He's probably not going to get more endorsement money if he has a national championship on his under his belt versus just being the number one pick, and all the endorsement money is still going to go along with that. My thought is, you still are not. Let's say that he says, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. He's still going to be playing. He's still going to be practicing, maybe not with Duke. He's still going to be playing. I mean, we all know. I mean, you don't have to be playing at the highest level to injure yourself. You could literally just be practicing. You could slip and fall down the stairs, for crying out loud. I mean, we're getting to choke on a waffle. You could choke on a darn waffle.
Yeah.
You know what? Too much peanut butter on there, the thing doesn't slide down, and next thing you know, it all went up in flames. So it just is one of those things. There's certain times where you need to make a business decision and protect yourself from the potential hazard that could cost you millions. And then there's other times where you need to go, let's not get too carried away with it. This is a young thoroughbred of an athlete. This guy is a big, strong individual who made a basketball move and blew out a shoe and tweaked his knee. He's going to be fine. He's day-to-day at this point. He's going to be fine. I can see why the speculation comes out. I can see why people are like, dude, your only chance in losing the number – you can't be any higher than the number one pick overall. So once you've achieved that – boy, this I could see how it would scare you a little bit. But at the same time, it's kind of one of those. Do you remember? I remember what it's like to be 18 years old. I had no fear of anything. I mean, I sprained my ankles. I had bad injuries.
Bo Jackson's the freakiest athlete we've ever seen, and it was a fluke that ended his career in two different sports. A fluke injury. So, it's just again, the people he's got away the pros and cons. I have a feeling he's going to play, and this entire national conversation this week is going to be moot. I think he'll be back with Duke. From what I understand, my brother knows him the young man personally. He's just the greatest kid you'd ever want to meet.
Yep.
So I don't think that he's even considering what he's being lectured about. I think that he's going to return to Duke as soon as possible, and will render the point somewhat moot. But the national conversation about it, I'm glad that the NBA is changing the draft eligibility age. I still think it needs to go further. If only there was a sports talk show host in Seattle who had a perfect idea about varsity and JV basketball that could make everything better, then it would solve all of our worries, right?
Right.
It's too bad there's not a guy like that.
Yeah,
it's too bad there's not a guy named Chuck Powell that's figured it all out.
Yeah,
and all he's looking for is a finder's fee from Adam Silver, and that he could solve all of his concerns and woes. This guy could probably fix college basketball, the NBA, and add another league that everybody would love if the only people would listen to him. There are actually no flaws to this idea of his, and yet nobody is taking advantage of it, and it seems like a crime. All I want is like $100 million.
Yeah, that's not asking for too much.
Yeah.
$100 million.
Yep. Ocho's next. 8 stories in 8 minutes. Sports Radio 950 KJR.